Open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 1. Believe it or not, as much as I'm a great big bar humbug, it's nearly Christmas. It's a real shame, isn't it, that it's Christmas time? And you're supposed to be happy and visit family and have a good... anyway. But let's forget about the Christmas and let's look at something else. Let's actually think about Jesus, okay? The world has taken Jesus right out of Christmas, so let's actually think about the birth of Jesus and who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Why do we talk about Jesus all the time? What's the point? I've talked to little kids before in parks, and there's this little girl, and she says, "Who's Jesus? I've never heard of him before. I think my grandma went to church." That's about as far as it goes in the world for how much people know about God. I worked with a guy, and he said to me, he said, "Oh, church, the only thing I know about church is what's on The Simpsons." And if you know anything about The Simpsons, that is not very good at all. Basically, it's just one of the ultimate shows of blasphemy and just totally destroying God and the testimony of the church. So the world has lost its touch with God altogether. They don't care about God. As we read in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one even thinks about God. The world now is teaching there is no God. The big evolution, it all came about by itself. There is no God. God is dead. And it's just totally pushed God right out. And it is an anti-God society that we live in. Read through Romans chapter 1 yourselves, and you'll see where we're heading to destruction. Swift judgment and destruction. The Bible talks about false prophets saying that their damnation will come quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2. And you think about the false prophets of this world teaching evolution, teaching that there is no God. And but praise the Lord, they're wrong. Hey, praise the Lord, they're wrong. In professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But there is a God. And we can see God. And in Romans, it says the invisible things of God are clearly seen by creation. His eternal power and Godhead, we can see that through creation. And then these people all say, it evolved. And evolution is super smart. And that there is no God, and evolution communicates with itself. I find it really funny that there's an orchid. I don't know much about flowers, but I know this just because it's a really cool fact. There's an orchid. Do you know what an orchid is? It's like a really cool flower, and it's got a 30-centimeter long flower, and they're pollinated by moths, and a moth has to stick its tongue in a flower to go to another one and pollinate it, and so this flower is 30 centimeters long, so there has to be a moth with a 30-centimeter tongue, and at the time, they hadn't found a moth with a 30-centimeter tongue, and then later on, they found a moth with a 30-centimeter long tongue, and it's the only moth that can pollinate this flower. Isn't that cool? God made that, didn't he? And then they say, oh, yeah, they grew together. So I think what happened is the flower got together with the moth and said, next time you come, my flower's going to be a bit longer. So start hanging off your tongue and stretching it and make it longer, okay? Okay? And then the next time he comes around, goes, yeah, your tongue was good. Let's go longer next time. And so these things evolved together, right? Nah, it's just totally ridiculous, isn't it? But praise the Lord, there is a God, or else we'd all be lost forever. If you've got your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 1, and let's have a look at this. Chapter 18, down through to the end of the chapter, and we'll think about Jesus' birth. And it is good that God came, because we had a debt to pay to God. Man has a debt to pay to God that man had to pay, but man isn't able to pay our debt. Are we able to pay our debts to God? No, we are unable to pay our debt to God. Only God could pay it because he's perfect. So God became a man to pay our debt for us. Isn't that good? And that's what the gospel is. That's the good news, isn't it? Let's have a look. Verse 18 says, "And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. He called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. How good is that? You know, they've been waiting for all of these years for God to come. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. It was written in the prophets. Isaiah's written about it, has wrote about it, and it was back there, and they knew it was going to happen. It's not a new surprise. It shouldn't have been a surprise for the Israelites that Jesus was born, should it? They were expecting him for a long, long time, hundreds of years. In fact, it was prophesied that the Savior would come in the garden when God promised the seed would come and crush the serpent's head. So they're waiting all of this time, but they've rejected God. They've rejected the Messiah. They rejected Christ. But we're going to look at Jesus. Who is he? He was a man. He was fully man, fully God. And he came, he had a purpose. What was the purpose for him to come? We'll have a look in verse 21. It says, She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How good is that? You think about that back in the garden. Because of Adam's sin. Okay, that's what we're going to look at. Adam's sin. Go to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to stay in Romans chapter 5 for a little bit as we talk about this. But Romans chapter 5, and it's talking about Adam's sin. See, we got a problem, don't we? Now, we don't have to go too far and use our imagination too much to see how much trouble the world is in, do we? Some people say that we're already in the thousand-year reign of Christ, and he's going to rule a perfect thousand years. Does it look like that to you? Does it look like that to you? No, even in the Western cultures, Western, that are supposedly Christian and supposedly good, I don't even know why they call Australia a Christian country anymore. It's just a mess, isn't it? It's a real, real mess. We've got a real problem here. We've got a real problem with sin. There's a real problem in this world, and sin, if you don't know what it is rebellion against God. See, way back in the Garden of Eden, it all goes back to Adam, doesn't it? Oh, poor Adam. Imagine being Adam. Do you know what I reckon? As people get to heaven, I reckon Adam hides. Do you think so? Yeah. You wouldn't. Adam! He brought all that trouble into this world, didn't he? And so he was commanded by God. And God said, don't eat of that tree. A simple commandment. Don't eat of that tree. You can eat. There is all of this. Look at that. There was mangoes and apples and avocados and patty melons and whatever else you can eat. And God says, it was an animal, sorry. Watermelons. Sounds like a fruit. And God says to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree. Okay, simple fruit. Mums, have you told your kids, don't eat that fruit? Nah, it's never fruit. Don't eat that chocolate. Don't eat that lolly. And kids, you think it's a small thing to take that food, don't you? A small thing to steal that biscuit that mum made or that chocolate or whatever it was. And that's just a small thing. But you know what? That's exactly what it was that Adam and Eve done that brought all of the trouble into this world. Isn't that just like, it's sin, okay? Whatever sin is, no big sin, little sin, it's all sin. And so Adam and Eve sinned against God, and the devil came in and says, hey, God didn't say that. And they twisted God's words, and they ate of the tree that they weren't supposed to eat. And what's that? It's disobedience, isn't it? He didn't kill someone. He didn't do some terrible, heinous crime that we imagine is so punishable by death. He disobeyed God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Don't disobey God. And have a look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and this is what we're going to look at. Adam, for by one man, For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For by one man sin entered into the world. Adam brought sin into this world. Okay, now this wasn't a mistake. Well, it was a mistake on Adam's behalf, but you know, when God created everything, he knew that this was going to happen. And some people say that God didn't know that they were going to sin. So then he had to make up a plan of Jesus. But no, he knew what would happen. And he planned it from the start. And let's look at that verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. So there was no sin. And everyone wants peace, don't they? Who would like peace? Me. I'd like peace. I'd like peace in my family. My kids fight, bicker, believe it or not, they do. And imagine having peace. And imagine world peace. You know, that's what the world leaders want. They want world peace, and they want to make peace. And World War I, was it the war to end all wars? And how many people and wars has there been since then? But by one man, sin entered into the world, and all of that came back to Adam. And from Adam come all the way to now, it's just gotten worse and worse and more wicked and more wicked. Actually, it's not any more sinful as it was back in Noah's day. You think about that. It was sinful. And you know what God said about them people? They said their thoughts and imaginations were, you know what it says? They were only evil continually. And is that what it's like today? Who works in a workshop and you sat down at the lunch table and what do you talk about? Well, not what do you talk about, what do they talk about? And it's like, ugh. Or, and not just a workshop, I've only worked in a workshop and I've worked in an office. Office workers are probably just as bad. I don't know. But what do they talk about? And what do? They give praise and they encourage and they go, oh, I did this. And they're like, oh, wow, good on ya. And you're just like, yeah, you're a mess. You're in a bad way. And for whereas, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, God said, when you eat of that tree, you will die. And they didn't eat it and fall down dead like they were poisoned, but they died. Spiritually, they died. Their relationship was broken with God, and physically, they died. Adam's not alive today. Adam and Eve aren't around today. They died. They died because God said, when you do that, you will die. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You ate that fruit? I told you not to. You're going to die. Now, we don't get to punish people like that because we're people, but God does. Okay? And that was why Jesus came, isn't it? To pay for that sin that we had done. That's what it says. Look at that. Let's go have a look at verse 19. Stay in Romans chapter 5. It says, for whereas by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. That was Adam. For as by one man sin entered into the world, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. The whole world, every single person is now a sinner. We are born in sins. Oh, we're in a bad way, aren't we? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Ah, do you know who that's talking about? That's talking about Jesus, isn't it? You know, it's really, really good. See what it says back there in verse 21? It says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus had a purpose to come to this world. It wasn't just like God created everything and put Adam and Eve in there, and then they sinned, and God goes, oh, no, they sinned. Oh, I didn't see that coming. What are we going to do here? I know, Jesus, would you do it? Come on. No way. He had a plan already from the start. He had it worked out, a plan of salvation, that Jesus would come and die for our sins so that God can be glorified. So that God can be glorified. That's what he came for, so he could save his people from their sins. 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. The devil sinned from the beginning. He did. Do you know where the devil came from? He was an angel that God created, and he was over God's throne. You can read about him in Ezekiel 28, and he was reflecting God's glory out. He was there to give glory and honor to God, but he got proud. He got proud, and he lifted himself up, and he said, I'm going to be God. And he got proud. And God said no. And he kicked him out of heaven. And he sinned from the beginning. And then he came in and he tempted Eve. And he brought sin in. And the devil is in the world. I was talking to a guy just the other day, a couple weeks ago. Claims to be a Christian. Okay? Says he believes the Bible. And then he claims to believe in evolution. And so we challenged him. And here's a good challenge. You can challenge people who say they're a Christian and believe in evolution. You can say, all right. So it says as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So then you're saying you believe the Bible? Yeah, okay, you got a theological problem, because then you're saying with evolution there was death before sin. Right, that's a good point. Remember that one if you're facing an evolutionist. They can't believe the Bible and God. You cannot mix. Watch out in churches. Like what Cam was saying in Sunday school. Watch out what they're teaching. I know churches that teach evolution as creation. The gap theory. God just started it all off and it got going. Then you've got death before sin. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Jesus came to die for our sin. Have a look. It says the devil was there. He sinned from the beginning. He tempted Adam and Eve to sin. It says that he's a murderer from the start. It says in the last part of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, thinking about Jesus, says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Right, how good is that? The devil has no authority. You know, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church. Jesus says, I will come down. I have crushed the serpent's head. And that's what it says way back there in Genesis chapter 3, when God says the seed will come and he will bruise thy head. And Jesus has crushed Satan's head and has already won the victory, and Satan's end is final. He only has a little bit of time that God's allowed him. And you read about it in Revelation. He's going to be thrown into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's going to come out. There's going to be a big war. And in the end, he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that is the end of Satan. We are on the winning side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we're on the winning side if we have the Savior. If we believe in Jesus. Because that's what he came to do. To save us from our sins. To die for our sins. To cleanse us from our sins. To forgive us from our sins. And to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that good? That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? That's what Jesus came to do. When we think about Christmas and Jesus who has come, who was born of Mary the Virgin, she's unmarried, it's totally impossible. It's a miracle from God. It was in the prophets, said that it was going to happen, proves who he is. And that's who Jesus is. He is our Savior and he's alive. He didn't just die. He rose again from the grave. Isn't that awesome that he rose again? Because if he was dead, we'd be worshipping some dead God. But that's what Jesus came to do, to save us from our sins. Everyone. It says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We're in a bad way, aren't we? We're in a bad way. Because of Adam's sin. You can deny it as much as you want, but who's perfect? Who's perfect before God? Man, it will be scary for the unsaved people to stand before God, won't it? They will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus came for everybody. Do you know there is no one too bad that God can't save? We always think about the bad people. But did you also know that there's no one too good that God can't save? I'm too good. I don't need to get saved. I'm not like those bad people. Those bad people. I'll tell you a story about a bad guy that I know. It's not really a funny story. But it's one of those, culture in context, I suppose. It's like one of those things that totally scare Australians and you're just like, ah! Like, what do you do when a murderer gets in your car with a gun? Or in Australia, if you're driving around down Lake Eachin, what would you do if there's a guy on the road with a machete? You'd be scared, wouldn't you? Well, what do you do in New Guinea when 5 guys come to your door holding machetes? Oh, you shake hands, invite them in, and have a couple with them. And what do you do when there's a guy standing on your veranda who's got two hand grenades in his pocket? Do you A, politely ask him to leave? Politely, because you don't want to upset him. Call the police? Well, they probably sold him the hand grenade, so that's not going to work, and they'd be too scared to come out anyway. Or you go, Sarah, we need a cup of coffee and a couple pieces of cake out here, please. And you sit down and talk to him. This guy comes up to me in the village, and he says, oh, Chris, I'll give you a bunch of bananas. I'll give you a big bunch of bananas. My bananas are almost ready, and I'll give you a bunch of bananas, and you need to pray for me. And I said, I'll pray for you. You don't need to give me bananas. Give me your bananas anyway. But you don't have to give me bananas, but I'll pray for you. Anyway, what's your problem? And he goes, what's the matter? And he's a bit of a dude, bit of a rascally kind of dude, to say the least. Anyway, and so he's talking to me. I say, what's your problem? What's the matter? And he says, well, I got a problem, and I need you to pray for me. See, he's praying because he doesn't want something bad to happen to him, really. So you can pray for this guy too, that God will do a work in his life. And he says, well, I've got some guns. I've got about 10 guns. I got a shotgun, I got a 22, and I got a 303, whatever it is, a couple of homemade guns, a couple of factory guns. And the village over there was warring against itself. The village split, two villages split in half, and then those two villages joined together, and so it was really kind of messy. And they were shooting each other, and they were fighting over there, and we saw this. And now they're all coming over to him, and they're saying, we're going to kill you because you hired your guns to them, and now they're using their guns to shoot against us and kill us, and they're your guns, so now we're going to kill you. This is what he tells me. And so I'm like, well, that's a bit of a situation. And he says, but I didn't. And it's like, well, okay. And he wants me to pray for him that nothing bad happens to him. He says, they already got my brother. They shot him in the leg when he was out at a copper. And I can't go anywhere. I can't go to the markets. I can't go anywhere. I've got to stay in the village. If the enemy see me out there, then they'll shoot me. I'm in trouble. Pray for me. And I'm like, no worries. I will be praying. And I said, but I'll be praying that God will save you. Okay? I can't just pray that God will protect you so you're free to walk around, so your enemy won't come and kill you or can't get you or something like this. I'm going to pray for your salvation because you need to know the Lord. And if you get killed, if your enemy comes, he says, I sit there in my house and I get my family in there and I'm always at home and I'm guarding the place, making sure that they don't come and get my old man and get my mama and get the kids and take anyone away or anything like this. I stay home all the time. And I said, if they come tonight and get you and shoot you, he's scared. He's scared for his life. And then anyway, some time goes by, and he comes up. I'm in the village. He goes, Chris, my bananas are ready. I'll bring them up. You know, bananas take ages to get ready. I'm like, yeah, cool, awesome. And he comes up with the bananas, and we hang them up on the veranda, and I say, all right, so tell me how it's going. It's been a couple of months. I've been praying for you. Still, any news? No, I'm still the same. I'm talking to him. He goes, I'm like, so... And he's like, it's all right, if they come, I'll just blow them up. He's a bit of a bad dude, okay? I've heard some stories about this guy in the past, and I wasn't sure whether to believe it, but now I believe it. And he goes, it's all right, I'll just blow them up. I've got two hand bombs, two hand grenades. And he's got a bum bag slouched over his shoulder, and he pats it here. He's got two. I said, you got two hand grenades? Yeah, I've got hand grenades here in my pouch. So I've always got them. So if I see him at the markets or whatever and they want to get me, I'll just throw a bomb at him and blow him up. And I always carry them everywhere. A gun's too long and too big to carry, and it's obvious that you're carrying a gun around everywhere. So these are here. I've got them all the time. I says, you've got two hand grenades on you right now. He's like, yeah. I said, show me. Said, all right. Opens his bag, unwraps it from a rag and goes, see, I got a hand grenade. I'm ready to use them. I'll just pull out the pin. I'll just chuck them at these guys and I'll blow them up if they come. I'm like, man, you've got to get saved. You're lost. What if you get blown up? I'm going to ask him next time I see him. Someone said it. What happens if they shoot this thing that's hanging on your chest? I don't know. Anyone know what would happen? Someone been in the army, do they know? If you shot a hand grenade, it would blow up, would it? It'll explode from experience? No. Dynamite might? Okay, well, we don't know about a hand grenade. Still be risky anyway, wouldn't it, Simeon? You wouldn't want to have it happen. Okay, so you got to get saved, because if they, it's urgent. And he's a bad guy. And he lets off a shotgun one night. Big boom! And I'm like, oh, yeah. Waiting for some screaming. Waiting for some yelling. No. Okay, go down and see him. I said, was that you letting that shotgun off? He said, yeah, it was. I said, what was that for? He goes, oh, I was just letting them know that if they were coming, I was ready for them. Oh, man. This guy's a bad guy. And people like that, they say to me, God can't save me because I'm too bad. I've told you the story about the guy who came up to me and confessed that he killed someone. He says, oh, you need to forgive me. I said, no, I don't need to forgive you. God needs to forgive you. You need to go to God, and he's living with the guilt and the fear of all of this, this sin that's come all the way from Adam, that's gone unchecked in the world, that's just gotten worse and worse and worse in the world, and people are dying and on their way to hell and living in sin in a bad way, and go, whoa. And you might go, whoa, these people are bad. I'm not as bad as him. But do you know what? Good people go to hell too. I heard a little quote one time that says, bad people go to heaven and good people go to hell. I like that, because bad people recognize their sin and see what they've done, and they go, oh, I need to repent, and they get saved, and they confess, and they turn around, and they come from a murdering rascal to an evangelist, and the good people sit in churches here and say, oh, those people are so bad. I am so glad I am not like that guy. You know the guy in Luke? The two people that go and pray in the temple, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. And the Pharisee goes, oh, God, thank you. I'm not like that guy. I'm good. I tithe. And the other guy walks in and he goes, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. He didn't even lift his eyes up. He beat his chest, his breast, and he said, oh, Lord. And the bad guy was redeemed. And the good guy remained lost. We're not too good to get saved. We're not too bad. It even says, I should have thought about them verses before, no one can sit outside of the reach of God. Yeah? No one can sit outside of the reach of God. God's got a long arm and he can reach. Even to the uttermost parts of the world, he's there. Those people need to be saved. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to save you. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you don't know the Lord, you need to know the Lord, because we're all sinners. There is no one good, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. Who's going to pay for your sin at the end? Are you going to die for all eternity? That's what it calls the judgment at the end of Revelation. It says, this is the second death. Are you going to pay and die for your sin for all eternity? Or are you going to accept Jesus' death for your sin? Because if you don't accept him, you're going to be lost forever, judged forever, eternally, conscious, awake, aware of what's going on, feeling pain. Read it in Luke chapter 16. And you know what? I don't want you to go there. I don't want my kids to go there. God doesn't want anyone to go there. It says God is not willing that any should perish. Praise the Lord. God isn't willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why Jesus came, isn't it? To save, to seek and to save that which is lost. He will save the people from their sins. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And we're caught in these traps of sin. And we're caught under the hand of the devil, and we're stuck in sin, and we've got this way of thinking, and we want to try and get out of it, but we can't. But Jesus did it. Have you ever tried to make yourself good? Oh, you get worse. Until you give it to God, and then God destroys the works of the devil. He destroys that sin. He destroys that power that is over you. And Jesus says, he says, I am the light. And you come out of darkness. And you come out of death. It says we are dead in our sins. We're in darkness, but we are alive unto Christ. And when we're in sin and when we're in darkness, Satan has power over us. But in the Lord Jesus, he doesn't have power over us. We win in Jesus. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Isn't that a good verse? promises in the New Testament. Submit yourself to God, give yourself to God, resist the devil, say no to him, say no to the devil, no to the temptations, no to the sin, no to the world, no to the old life, and say yes to Jesus, submit yourself to him, and the devil will run away. Think about that. Think about Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. He used scripture, and the devil ran away. The devil ran away. Hey, it's not sin to be tempted. It's what you do when you're tempted. Jesus was tempted. And he had victory through the word of God. It is written. It is written. And when it is written, it doesn't change. And when it's written, we can quote it. And we can hold on to these promises and we can say, it is written. Oh, it says a promise that if I draw near to God, God will draw near to me. And if I submit myself to God, then the devil will run away. And you quote these promises and remember them and know them so you know you can have victory over the devil. Because he was a sinner from the start. He sinned from the beginning. He's a murderer and a liar and you can't trust him. And he made this whole world go down into sin. And he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're blinded, aren't they? So we need to pray that these blind people see the Lord. This guy who walks around with two hand grenades strapped to his chest needs to see the Lord. These guys who are involved in fighting and murdering out there need to see the Lord. These people that sit in churches today, here right now, that are unsaved, you need to see the Lord and accept the Lord and submit yourself to the Lord and give yourself to the Lord, because that's what he came for. He came for you. He died for you. He died for me. How good is that, that he died? That's why he came, to save us from our sins, so we don't have to be judged for all eternity for our sin, our simple disobedience from God, which was eat something that we were told not to eat. Do something we were told not to do. That is sin. It's not just killing people and all the bad stuff. It's the attitudes and the rebellion against God and the stubbornness and the imaginations of the heart and all of these things. You can go through and find them all yourselves, and that's why Jesus came. Amen. That's why we talk about it. That's why he came, because he loves us. And that's the good news. So we don't have to die for our sins. Praise the Lord for his plan. He knew. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise the Lord for him sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's why he came. If anyone says, who is Jesus? What did he come for? What's Christmas about? It's not about Santa. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not even about presents. Man, think about Christ. Every time, not just at Christmas, think about Christ. He died for us. Isn't that good? The good news. Amen. Let's be mindful of that as we go through this week and we'll pray. Remember to pray for Pastor Buddy and for Glennis throughout the week. And let's commit this time to the Lord now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for sending your Son to come and die for us. The whole purpose was to die for our sins. We just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Pray watch over us through this week, Lord. We pray for Pastor Buddy over in America. Keep him safe as he travels. Give him wisdom as he preaches too. And we pray again for Glennis. Help her, Lord, to recover from the surgery. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.